If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talking about podcasts. We're talking about really good, super bad podcasts. Oh, podcast.
You kind of drove on that end part. I liked that. That was different.
Had fun.
I was along for the ride for that very last part. Welcome, as you can obviously tell, to Two Chunks and a Hunk. I'm Jordan.
This time, I'm Doge. And today's joke is great. The punchline is because you can't drink bacon. Because you can't drink bacon.
Why do people need coffee in the morning? Why do people drink coffee in the morning?
I mean, that's decent.
Because you can't drink bacon.
Why? Hey.
Yeah?
Why don't I like smoothies?
Because you can't drink bacon. No, you were both completely wrong.
Oh.
Why do we love beer? Because you can't drink bacon.
Ooh, that's a t-shirt.
Oh man, that's being said in a bar somewhere today.
That's a t-shirt at
somewhere
Spencer's
in close proximity.
By a 48-year-old.
Because you can't drink
because you
bacon.
Can't drink bacon.
I will say this, that is, my mom would think that's really funny, even though it says beer. She would think that's
we'll get
really
some
funny.
Laughs.
It's yeah. It's a 100 pixel by 100 pixel picture of like Popeye the Sailor Man.
Yes.
With that quote on it on Facebook.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, yeah. It's
that's phenomenal.
It's Tweety Bird with like a frosty mug.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. You know what you can drink? I'm Carter. Something else what? You can drink?
Lots, actually.
Yeah, tell a ton me. Of stuff.
That's what this bacon next game is. Name the top 100 things you can drink.
Top 100? Water's not even
you get, for most you people. Get 33 strikes.
Mountain Dew Code Red, Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
I have found, I think that when we discovered the IMDb algorithm, it unlocked a lot for us when we discovered different Flixster things. I'm trying to find where do I get the data? What's interesting? What do we do things based off? We've done lists and Doge has become our list Sherpa of late. But I've always been fascinated with how much money a movie makes. I usually try and bring that up during our episodes. You're going to hear that today on Superbad. There's a whole genre section that is incredibly detailed on Box Office Ball. Box Office Mojo. If you want Box Office Ball, that's in Discord. But on Box Office Mojo, you can find out how much this genre keyword made in theaters. And I thought how appropriate for a super bad day in the latter half of this episode. Our genre keyword here on Box Office Mojo, I need to hear the top 10 buddy comedies, highest grossing.
Buddy comedies. Whoa.
Obviously Elf. His name is Buddy and Elf. Obviously that's number one.
Top three highest grossing buddy comedies.
Buddy comedies. Highest okay. grossing too. That's
you
the
said
tough
top
part.
Three?
Sorry, top 10.
Okay.
It's tough with highest grossing because I find that many of the comedy movies don't really that's get what popular
had me,
until
that's what
they,
had
like,
me in this
roll.
Area. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Comedies
so we
are not.
Turns, or are we working together?
Do what now?
Are we working together or battling each
battling.
Other?
Battling. This is a battle.
We're battling.
This is a battle.
It is anti buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an enemy.
It's an enemy.
Enemy comedy. The Hangover Part 2.
Yeah, it's good. Is it a buddy comedy, really? But yeah.
Lock no. it in. They're
bong,
buddies
bong.
With each other.
Do you know what huh. genre that one actually is?
Rock,
crime and adventure.
Raunch
body.
Body.
Body
comedy. B-A-W. Bowdy.
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 I can
that's
tell
a
you.
Bowdy comedy.
And I
my would
favorite,
watch a Hangover.
Hey, those, brother, that's a Bowdy comedy.
Those movies are just too Bowdy those, for me.
Too Bowdy. You got, you need to do the punch
I'm
into Bowdy.
I'm going
to
just drink my beer because you can't drink bacon.
Can't drink bacon. This is unfair to Doge, but all 10 of these movies we've heard of. I think that's not unfair. You would have assumed this. You've heard of these sure. top 10 highest grossing.
I had never heard of The Hangover Part 2 before this morning
that's,
when
well,
I was Googling what movies are funny. So, man, I wish I'd known that.
Do you want hints? Why am I feeling so no. helpful? So I've started no. to teach freshmen this year for the first time in a long time, and
they
maybe that's what this
extra,
is.
They need a little oh, extra boost.
See, it's helpful to remember that I'm not 18.
Yeah,
I'm a
okay.
big, big boy.
Big boy ready.
A boy, indeed. Okay. Buddy comedy, but buddy is the operative word. And I
here's
think
the thing.
Some of these are going to be.
All right. Remember, they're not friends with each
I
other
just,
in the
well, I just think it's going to be way more be fun if you know one thing. One
these
general
all,
hint. And I'll give Doge another
Korean
shot
films.
At it.
Okay,
you don't want any
what's
hints.
Happening?
Never mind. Go
okay.
ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Hey, our moms aren't going to call you if we get a bad grade.
All right, go for it.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think he was going to say, which is like comedy is looser here than buddy. And I think we're going to be thinking like a super bad hangover, but I think it's going to be something different than that. I think maybe like one of the Rush Hours or something would be in here. Or like... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like, I guess if we're adjusting for inflation on this list, there's some 80s movies that were like all-timers that would probably get through there. But let's go with like The Other Guys.
That's a great guess.
That's a great guess. Bong Bong, though. Not a top
yeah,
10
fair enough.
In the buddy comedy.
Fair enough.
Genre. In the genre.
Buddy comedy. Comedy about buddies being buddies and pretty silly about it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Top 10. And you want the highest grossing ones?
Yes, sorry.
Obviously, I'm assuming.
That
yeah, that's regulation for this.
Highest
okay.
grossing.
What about like The Nice Guys?
Good
did
movie.
Did our movie. Stars draw... draws to the box office for this?
Good movie.
That one historically did not do well in the box office, which was shocking.
Yeah.
Bong bong.
Let me go with like Rush Hour 2.
Bing bing, my friend.
Yeah.
Number 2. Yeah.
Had to be a Rush Hour.
Rush yeah. Hour 2. $226 million.
That's a lot of dollars.
Doge with two strikes already. One last shot here. To stick around. Is Two Chunks a lot of people's favorite buddy comedy, you think? Or are we, do we qualify?
I think with three, we are no longer buddy comedy.
I think we're out.
I think a buddy
many.
Comedy is like two guys.
We're a powdy comedy, like P-A-W-D-Y.
Powdy.
Not a, feels like not a lot of, well, no, that's not true.
Oh, you're right. Three wouldn't do it.
Man, Hangover not being on here like really has thrown me.
Sure.
Because it's more than two.
It's more than two.
Well, can't have more than one buddy. That's the truth.
Funny twos. Funny twos.
One's not enough. Three's a crowd, you know?
And we
I'm going to Price is Right, Jordan. Beer. In the hell yeah, brother. I'm going to Price is Right, Jordan. Rush Hour 3. Nah. Just strike. Go ahead. Let me go back to the dugout, coach.
Bong bong.
I struck out,
my
coach.
Friend. Rush Hour 3 is number 11.
Oh, very close though. Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Bong Bong.
Obviously.
Something with Kevin Hart, I assume, probably.
I think it's just because Step Brothers chose not to put buddy comedy as a genre there. I think if we were to look at IMDb, it does not say buddy comedy for Step Brothers.
Right.
We'll see. Or it just didn't make enough money.
Yeah,
I think Hobbs and Shaw is on here?
I think the funny thing about buddy comedy is that it's a genre that doesn't... If these are self-identified as buddy comedies, then my guess is a lot of these are older, would be my assumption. But maybe a 22 jump. Maybe a 22 jump. Give me a 22 jump.
Oh, duh.
Bing Bing number 3.
Yeah.
Duh. Hey, guys, I watched that for the podcast last week.
And yeah.
I didn't even remember that it existed.
Yeah. Sort of seems like it. Ooh.
I feel like I've been trying to drink bacon this morning.
Oh,
I
just can't
even.
You can't drink bacon.
You can't do that.
And that's what people don't tell you.
I'm doing it wrong.
That's what people don't tell you, is that you can't drink bacon. I feel like there's going to be something with Kevin Hart in here, because I feel like every movie he makes a gajillion. But I can't think of any Kevin Hart movies, because I don't know that I've seen any Kevin Hart movies, would be the thing.
I'm realizing that I don't think I've seen a Kevin Hart movie either.
That's oh, Wedding true. Crasher. No, Wedding Crashers wouldn't. It wouldn't have box office. Oh, go. I want the game to end. Wedding Crashers.
No, it's not here, my friends. Y'all haven't seen the new Jumanjis? They're funny.
There's
no.
That's not
Kevin Hart
comedy, though.
With Kevin Hart.
Oh, sorry. I meant I don't know that I've seen any of the Kevin Hart buddy comedies, like the.
Gotcha. I see you. Like with The Rock, Dwayne The Rock
yes.
Johnson. From 10 to 1, it seems that two friend both have gun help for buddy comedy.
Yeah, is there lethal like a lethal weapon in here?
Number 10, Rush Hour. Number 9, Pokemon.
You could have gone Rush
Detective,
Hour 1.
Detective Pikachu. That's in there. Number 8, Lethal Weapon 3. Number 7, Lethal Weapon 2.
That's funny.
Okay.
Number 6, The Heat. Number 5.
Melissa McCarthy, The Heat?
Isn't that wild, dude?
That is wild.
Sandra Bullock?
Number Sandy 5, Bully and Melissa McCarthy?
Men in Black 3? You're going to start to see a theme here.
Men in Black.
Number 4, Men in Black 2. Number 3, 22 Jump Street. Number 2, Rush Hour 2. Number 1, Men in Black. Highest grossing buddy comedy genre, according to Box Office Mojo.
There's a lot of sequels, which makes sense. I feel like a lot of times with these movies,
because they stuck with the same genre.
Yeah. The first one gets popular. The second one gets in there. Highest grossing is tough because, you know, box office money doesn't necessarily equal quality or how much I would want to watch something.
Not in this genre.
Speaking of,
Men in Black is a respectable champion at the top, though.
No, I think it's great.
I do appreciate that.
I do too.
Speaking of box office or lack of box office money, we did watch K-pop Demon Hunters yesterday. And if you've been holding out on that like I have, you should watch it because it rules. That movie is so much fun.
Not a single person on earth have I heard say that that was not good, legitimately.
I think that there's a type of person that wouldn't enjoy it, and they wouldn't enjoy most things.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say too, Jordan, you tend to be uninfluenced by others' opinions. It might get you there, but you're going to stick with your legitimate opinion by the end of it. So I'm even more encouraged now. This might have been the nail on the head for me going to see that, is that you liked it as well.
It was a movie. It was one of those movies that finished, and Callie and I were both like, I'm so glad this exists. It's fun to live in a world where a movie like this gets made, because
and the
it
kids
feels
it.
Dumb and risky, which is the best kind of success when something is like, why did they have this idea? But man, I'm glad they did. And that's sort of where I landed on this movie, because
that's amazing.
It's just awesome.
Something else?
I do. Before we get to extra credit, I was challenged before we hit record to share, speaking of opinions that are just my own, I was challenged to share something on mic, and it's just important to be vulnerable, I think. I got a Sonic
Ice Maker.
Yeah,
let us know in the chat if you share this opinion, folks.
Doesn't matter to me. I got a Sonic Ice Maker last weekend. Pebble Ice.
I don't know if it came through on the recording, but I guess it was your connection or something.
You coughed a robot.
You did sound like a robot got punched.
And I did cough a quick robot. I did cough a quick robot out of my lungs.
Yeah.
I bought a Sonic ice maker last weekend. Our ice maker was not doing well, and so had to buy something to buy some time. And we bought a countertop Sonic ice maker, makes the little pebble ice. And I was telling
Sonic the restaurant, not the guy,
not the hedgehog,
fast guy.
And I was telling my good friends that it's changed my life because it makes my drinks so unbelievably cold. I really underestimated how much the shape.
What more
of
ice?
The ice.
Do. Oh.
Just having ice, but just like the shape of the ice and the amount of ice you can fit into a cup makes your drink so cold. But I was telling them that I really like when drinks get melted ice and a little watered down pretty much across the board, whether it's an iced coffee or the, you know, three times a year that I drink a soda.
You like that taste?
I do. Yeah. I like, I find a lot of drinks, particularly like, anything remotely like thick, syrupy, or like really heavy on flavor. So like, I like when whiskey gets a little watered down. Like if I was ever going to do like extra neat whiskey, I would do the thing where people like drips a little bit of like cold water into it. You know what I'm talking about?
To activate the flavors.
Yeah. I like when, I mean,
people
I would
do
never
that
actually,
and I'm like, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I would just put ice works. In it. But I like a cold drink and I like a drink a little bit watered down. And Sonic Ice is absolutely perfect for that. So
yeah. I don't think that's an opinion that I've ever met a person who shares with you.
That is, hey, and hear me, fine.
You like that better, I think.
I don't know that I don't know that it colors my enjoyment of the opinion at all. It doesn't bother me that nobody else has it. And by the way, people definitely do.
There
are
people like that.
There's no way I'm alone.
Just like a lot of people drink coffee out of the sink.
It's sort of similar to that.
It's sort of similar. I appreciate you sharing that. Is Sonic Ice, not the hedgehog,
sure,
the restaurant, is Sonic Ice is it soda packing peanuts? Is that what we're working with here?
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Eases the transition from glass to mouth.
Yeah.
Keeps everything from breaking or cracking.
And the area it's taken up too, you know? It can really get in there.
I'm filling up every square inch of glass with ice before I pour drink over it with that Sonic
See,
ice.
See, I think our drink experience is 100% opposite because I don't like a drink that is so cold that it hurts me.
Why?
Yeah. I don't like to fill the cup up all the way with ice. I would prefer every drink of mine to be concentrated. I'd like boil it a little bit first, flavor blast it for me. I think everything you're saying is the most foreign thing I can imagine to desire in a beverage experience.
I don't understand not wanting your drink as cold as humanly possible. I understand if you don't want it a little watered down. I think that's more common. But why would you not want your drink blast freezer cold?
Ice cold, huh?
Because it hurts. It hurts my throat. Correct. It hurts my chest and my tummy when I drink it. It hurts my teeth.
You are the person I know who most loves to talk about how they like food that hurts them. And now all of a sudden, drink too cold. And you're like, I don't think so.
Drink too cold hurts my teeth. My teeth are very sensitive. I prefer... So like... Water is a great example. You guys have heard of this. I prefer room temperature water to a cold water.
Ooh,
I would rather have just like,
so
give me a solid, like give me like a 75 degree water, 62 degree water.
I feel
water.
Like we've talked about room temperature water, but there is no drink I want besides water at room temperature. I want every drink as cold or hot as humanly possible.
Doge, are you losing your mind when you see people bite ice cream?
Yes. Oh my God. Why would you do
See,
that?
See, I can't even
those puppies
I can't even do that. I wish I could. I'd like turtle gum it a little bit. I get those.
Yeah.
I wrap those lips around there.
I could just rest my chompers right in the top of a
mountain. Oh, no way. Yeah, that would
really?
Like, physical
That's crazy
pain.
To think about.
Yeah.
You're just swishing it around. It's just slowly like getting in between.
Yeah, that's okay.
Goodness.
That's okay.
You want to play extra credit?
Yeah.
Yay!
Okay,
we're not gonna lily pad. All right,
chill, relax.
We're not gonna lily pad today like we've done in the past. This one's full. We want the Doge version of this one. I need
super bad.
Concentrated. I need strong flavors. We're only sticking with super bad. Granted, okay. Has a lot of people y'all done before. My guess is you're not going to necessarily go the...
You know that doesn't help.
The Chris Mintz route here. But Michael Cera,
I think we start with Michael Cera.
Yeah. Bill Hader, Seth Rogen.
We've definitely never done Michael
Emma
Cera.
Emma Stone. You don't think you've ever done Michael Cera? Dave Franco?
I don't think
here?
So.
Oh, wow. Joe Nunez?
Yeah, let's do Michael Cera.
Fair. Go for it. People know what extra credit is. Let's do it.
They know. This they know. Is nobody's they get it. First episode.
They get it.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, I'm comfy with that. Let's go with Arrested Development.
It's gotta be, right? Arrested Development. Lock it in.
Bong bong. There's probably too many people in it. Two. We've split our fandom here. We've split the...
I love that you think that that matters.
There's probably too many people in it.
That's cool that you think that that matters. Yeah, I mean, give me Superbad, obviously.
Superbad. Boom, ba doo boom, boom, ba doo boom, boom.
Give me bing, 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 number three.
Thank you. Thank you.
Scott Pilgrim.
Hey, Scott Pilgrim. That's obvious. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 number two. Number one more guess. Two.
Interesting. Interesting, number two.
Do you think there's any chance, if we're talking width and breadth of a career, we've got a Lego Batman in here.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance we have a Lego Batman in here. Let's think for just a second about what else could be there.
I'm not going to do that. I refuse.
Okay. Lego Batman, lock it in.
Lego Batman, lock it in.
Bong bong.
Yeah.
Number
I
one.
About it, I guess.
I wish somebody had said that.
Number one, Juno. Number yeah. two, Scott Pilgrim. Number three, know. Superbad. Number four, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
It's a bad top four. Yeah. Okay. Who
is
else?
It funny? Is could there be a joke that the punchline is Nick and Nora's Infinite Jest? That's funny.
That's
right?
Funny. You think that's funny?
If it was like really funny. Long and dense and hard to understand,
right? Yeah,
I'll kind of read each long. Sentence again.
6 hours long. Just is very philosophical.
Yes,
but it's all on an old iPod classic.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh my God. Jonah Hill, Bill Hader, Seth Rogen. Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Is it Mintz-Plasse? Is it Plasse?
I think it's mise en place.
I was about to say that. We don't even need to both be on this call. Damn it.
Emma Stone.
We've definitely done Emma.
Martha McIsaac.
Doesn't mean I won't do it again.
Aviva Bauman. Jolo Truglio. Kevin Corrigan.
Now you're just making names up. Yeah. We could do Bill Hader. I don't think we've ever done Bill Hader, have we?
Yeah, I don't think we have. I think Bill Hader's going to be hard, dude.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is there.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Bill Hader. Why not?
Bill Hader. Lock her in.
Bill Hader. I love her, actually. Super bad.
Yeah, let's do it. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
All right.
Yeah.
Barry. Dude.
Barry. Lock it in.
Bong bong. Too many people.
Hot Rod. What? Lock it in.
Hot Rod.
Bong sure. bong. Too many people.
Saturday Night Live. Lock it in.
Bong bong. Doge too many people.
In. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Doge didn't lock it in.
Joke's Idiot. On you. Joke's
Doge
on you.
Doge didn't lock in the last two.
Idiot.
That's let's, fine. Let's if you want to go 0-6, if that makes you feel better, you can absolutely Idiot. Do that.
Moron.
Skeleton twins.
You're looking it up.
I'm not looking at anything. I raised my hands in the air because this
bing,
is where
bing,
my
bing, number one.
At. Okay, so we got 1 point for Bill.
Yeah, one
the
for
Force
Bill.
Awakens. The Force Awakens.
Number one, the Skeleton Twins. Number two, Inside Out. He plays Fear. Number three, It Chapter Two. Number four, Trainwreck.
Okay.
He's the lead opposite the lead. Co-lead, I guess. We got one
Let's go
more.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse. I can get two guaranteed. Two guaranteed.
I think you can get it perfect.
Okay.
Superbad, lock it in.
Superbad, lock it in.
Bing, bing, number one.
Kick-Ass, lock Thank it
you. In. Yep, lock it in.
Bing, bing, number two. Oh, sorry, that's number three.
Is he in This Is the End? He probably is. He's done a bunch of voice acting. Oh, wait. How to Train Your Dragon.
Kick-Ass was actually number three.
How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah, he's a voice in How to Train Your Dragon. I don't remember which one, but he's in it.
Is he Train or Dragon?
He's Hal.
Okay. I forgot there's the three of them that keeps it from being a buddy comedy. Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, bing, bing. Number four.
Hell yeah. This is the end. Lock it in.
Sure.
It's not there. But I think he's in it.
Bong Bong, Kick-Ass number two was number two.
It was in the title. It's moved so much.
Kick-Ass 2. Superbad number one, Kick-Ass 2, 2. Kick-Ass number 3. How to Train Your Dragon number 4. And technically, that's the hidden world.
And I want you to know that I mean this when I ask this question. There's a Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Uh-huh. What, did you think all the ass got kicked in the first one?
I kind of thought there's still ass left.
The work wasn't finished.
I kind of thought we put a wrap on.
Jim Carrey's in Kick-Ass 2.
Really? Maybe I should watch. I like the first Kick-Ass.
Colonel Stars and Stripes himself.
Whoa. That's crazy. Most importantly, for my ass, rather than getting kicked, it's getting over to shout announcements. I find that imperative. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's a super bad podcast, but it's a super good middle of the podcast where we do shout announcements, which is now. It's this part.
Shout out to our podcast, because I've just realized that if you divide our podcast into three sections, there's the pre-shout announcements, the shout announcements, and the post-shout announcements.
That's true. Too many parts for a buddy comedy.
Too many parts for a buddy comedy. 66.6 repeating percent of our podcast starts with you making a very intense noise in the back of your throat.
What's the other part?
The beginning, when you do a weird singing at the beginning.
You think it's weird?
Oh, hey, man.
What if I'm doing the best job I can?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, I thought your headphones were muted. No, it sounds great.
I'm just doing, when I sing, I'm just doing the best possible job that I can.
Did I say, okay, yeah, my internet glitched. It probably sounded like I said weird. I said a really beautiful sound from your gilded throat.
That's what I try to do at the beginning.
Yeah. No, but you're doing a great job.
What was the 66 repeating part? Because it sounded like you were comparing it to the horrible sound I make at the beginning of shout announcements when I do my best job singing.
Well, yeah, sure. So 2/3 of it start with, it's just like, okay, Jordan, make a noise and then we'll go.
Oh, got it. I thought you were saying that the singing at the beginning of the podcast was not good, which is, it's the best possible job I can do.
It's really good. It's good.
I've never tried harder to do a job at something.
I love it. I've been begging you for an MP3 of it.
I don't even try that hard to do a good job at my job. So that was certainly shocking for me to hear. Not as shocking as it will be for you to hear that you've been missing out. You could be in our Discord. You could be chit-chatting it up, talking to each other, to the other homies, talking to us. Talking about box office ball and games and books and movies and TV and sports and conversations and sometimes even new releases of things. People will
sometimes
throw their opinions out. It's a really good time. But you should get over in the Discord. Get on Patreon. Jump in the Discord. We miss you and we don't even know you. That's how much we love you.
Yeah. Wow. It's starting to feel like a Civil War song.
Whoa. We should all kiss.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Imagine Dungeons, check it out soon.
I forgot that we had to talk about that. Yeah, do Imagine, listen to it. It's our D&D podcast. You're going to like it. And there's about to be more of it.
Yay.
We're back. Figured we'd go
There we go. 3 for 3. Weird noise begin.
Figure we'd just go 3 for 3. We're back in the show, in the podcast show. Welcome back to the podcast show. As we say, sort of in our neck of the woods.
Every episode.
I just figured I'd go ahead and carry the back third, since I carry the first two thirds with my throat sounds. I would just
pick up the torch
and carry it. We're talking about Superbad. It's
the Google Doc you sent us didn't have many lines highlighted for me in the second half of the script. So.
It's the fourth, technically fifth movie in our comedy run here. I'm really excited to talk about this one. I've been excited to watch it all week. We watched it yesterday, and I'm really excited to talk about it. But first, gotta check in. Had we all seen this before?
Yes.
This was number one for me.
Whoa. Your first time?
Number one for me.
Wow. Interesting. So much like Carter's Pineapple Express experiment with you, I'm interested to see how Superbad holds up, you know, 18 years later for somebody that has never seen it before.
18 years.
Well, isn't that crazy? Lucky for you guys, I have a lot of experience being the coolest person at my high school, invited to the coolest parties.
Yeah.
So it was like coming home a little bit watching this movie.
Can I say that I think for my money, Superbad might get being a 17, 18-year-old boy in the 2000s more than like any movie I've ever seen, I think.
This came out my freshman year in college, and it was like
your target audio.
Yes. Yes, it ends up being some of the buffoonery that is a bit ridiculous as a good cinema comedy should be. But because of our leads, there really was some realism to it. Like, this is actual awkward. This is actual longing to be cool.
Yes.
It made me think of the days to when – do you ever have a day that like early on you do something that feels – like out of a cartoon, like you stub your toe and then spill something on yourself. And then you're like, oh no, is this going to be the whole day? And it kind of is.
Yeah.
Everything goes wrong. Yeah. This is what Superbad is for me.
Where does the bad day start for them is my question. Is it when Seth gets hit by the car?
I would guess that's it. Yeah.
Or is it when Fogel gets punched?
Dude, regardless, it's so like a lot of it is like don't go to jail violence. It's not like Pineapple Express gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to walk into a diner and be mostly dead by the end of it and nobody says anything. This is just like, and the beauty of it too is it like it just feels like there's not a lot of budget, but they're really making do with action, quote unquote, like action sequences to an extent.
Yeah, Callie and I were talking about like there's not enough movies that are sort of like bottled up in a 24-hour period. And I think that's something that's really fun about this movie is that it's just like this is the worst or best, depending on who you ask, Friday of these kids' lives.
Yeah.
This is just a senior year Friday and it either sucks or rules.
And from what I remember, all ages liked Superbad. It ends up, and really all I can think of are like older generation, like men that I know that saw it too, that were like 10, 15 years older than me. Because I do think it has like Revenge of the Nerds vibes. There's nobody cool. Nobody is cool. And that is an excellent flavor.
Yes.
Like there's always someone trying so hard to be cool. But even the
adults
cool.
in this movie are not cool.
Nobody's cool.
Right.
And it's really good. I don't think I'd watched it in a long, long time.
I watch this movie fairly regular. This will be one that Callie and I will be like, we need to laugh. Maybe we throw on Superbad. But Doge, I'm curious, like, what was your experience watching this fresh eyes? You know, you are not 18, and this movie did come out a long time ago. So like, what was your experience watching this movie?
Come out a long time ago is evident. There's definitely some stuff that it's like, that's a little dated in terms of the slurs that we terminology. Think are funny to throw around.
Yeah.
But the number one thing going through my mind is what a complete treasure and blessing on my life Michael Cera is.
100%.
Michael Cera is never not my favorite thing in the thing that he's in.
I know.
He is and has been since he was a kid. Effortlessly so funny to me.
Yes.
But like every single thing he does in this movie is very funny. I did find Jonah Hill quite grating in this movie.
I think that's I think he is supposed to be kind of the worst.
Yeah. He is. And it did feel intentional. And it also felt like, oh my God, dude. Like, just I would love some scenes without Jonah Hill in them. So McLovin and the cops were my favorite part of this movie.
They're pretty unequivocally the best part of the movie.
In fact, there was a part of me that was like, I kind of could just have this be like, maybe the movie is just McLovin's wild and crazy night and we just watch him the whole time. I'm fine with that.
I think if you have that, you miss out on several of my personal favorite parts, but I do love McLovin and the cops. I think that whole saga is hilarious. And I love that their reasoning at the end is not teaching him a lesson or trying to instill confidence in him, but instead their reason for everything they did was they want him to know that cops can still be cool is such a funny reason. Yes.
I think Seth Rogen and Bill Hader are a better pair comedically than Seth Rogen and James Franco.
100%.
Yes, personally.
Yes.
And that's just because they both have... Seth Rogen is so interesting to me because even now, like, Superbad is still such an early Rogen, but he has always felt like a bumbling adult.
For sure.
What's the show? Freaks and Geeks, right? He's a kid in that. But even then, he's kind of playing the high schooler that feels much older, that feels mature in the wrong ways.
Right.
And so it's like Rogan has just always been this. But that's how much you need of... I think the fact that our cops are Bill Hader and Seth Rogen, and they just kind of keep coming in a bit like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like, they're just like, they're not the main through line here. But you get so pumped. I remember seeing... So I saw this in theaters. And I can't remember if I was... It was like the end of senior year in high school or the beginning of freshman year in college. Either way, it's a magical time. And people were laughing at a certain point once the cops were back. Like that, before they even said anything, people were like, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Dude,
them faking a call to get out of paying for their beers at the bar and then deciding to order beers to go. Seth Rogen orders 13 beers. Can we get 13 beers to go?
It feels like only COVID times could something like that have been pulled off, that they just give you a carafe.
Right.
I'll never forget just Jordan, a growler. You walking out of Alamo Draft House.
With the trash bag.
With the trash bag of popcorn.
I didn't even pay for it.
I know.
I just told the guy, my wife is sick and loves the popcorn here. Can I get some to go? And he brought me a trash bag
full of popcorn. I thought you said dying or something. Yeah. Like that.
Her last wish was to eat some more of this popcorn. Oh, man. That's so true. That's
be the cheapest Make-A-Wish ever.
That's so funny.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, maybe I should have clarified that she just had a fever and not like, maybe he thought sick was capital S.
Sick. You did.
The way
like
you said
you
it was
know
weird.
If someone's gonna live or not.
You, because you were like, she's sick, and we, for the last time, we hope. And so he was like, man, there's an air of finality about this.
I just
meant
I never want her to be sick again. It hurts my heart, but he thought I meant that it was over.
Yeah, she's sick. It's all about to end, I think. She's just about done, is what you said.
That's true. I did say that. This is Emma Stone's first movie, which I think is very...
Wow.
She steps into a movie with like a fair amount of giants, a fair number of giants here, and feels really natural.
Speaking of folks who have always been effortlessly like magnetic on screen, first movie, she's great.
Yeah, she's
already... She shows up and it feels like Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think maybe she's another example of that Seth Rogen, like, feels like she's always been beyond her years whenever she's been on screen to me. There's something about Emma Stone that she feels like she is very confident and in control for her first movie.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's carried on into the rest of her career. I feel like she's just always felt like, I was recently thinking actually that I think Emma Stone might be a top five actor for me.
I can hear that.
She's like a selling point in a way that a lot of people aren't. I just think she's she's got the triple threat. You know, she's funny. She's, she can do dramatic very well. She can do intensity. She's got charisma and charm, and she's so good. And here's no exception. I feel like even her and Seth making the tiramisu in Home Ec, and it's just so ugly looking, and that scene just feels so natural. And I feel like Jonah Hill, especially here in Superbad, you're right. I don't think his comedy chops were much beyond just like be loud and say weird stuff.
What if I yell? Yeah.
And the fact that she's got chemistry with him is really impressive. That's what I was gonna say, when he's that early, like, in his career.
She could have chemistry with anyone.
She is
the great chemist. We've talked about somebody before and referred to them as the great chemist, but I do think it's Emma Stone.
Well,
I think
it was, we said it for Gosling, didn't we?
Which is why when you put the two of them together, it is like magic.
We're talking Breaking Bad.
We're talking Breaking Bad here. But I think did y'all, obviously these are extreme examples and, you know, lots of people here are bad people. And in 2025 lens, we would not say a lot of the things that they say or do a lot of the things that they do. But like, did y'all find echoes of your high school selves in these characters at all? Just like in the sort of bumbling through, I don't know, something Callie and I talked about last night when it finished was like, I think about high school and early college, and I think about the days when it's like the most important thing was friendship. Like the idea of like, we're doing something separate. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean you got other plans today? That doesn't make sense to me. I thought we were going to hang out. But the thing that Callie and I both agreed on was like, there was a time, late high school especially, where it was like, these are my best friends. I'd do anything for them. Oh, I could get a kiss if I go here. I'll see you guys later. And like, I think I identified with that a lot in this movie of just like, the most important thing in the world is my best friends, unless I could get a smooch. And then I'm going to go try and do that real quick.
Yeah, I think for me, McLovin's feigned confidence, like to the point to where he's like, not Emperor's New Clothes, but there's some vibe about him that's just like he's going to convince himself that he's cool.
He's accidentally Catch Me If You Canning them.
Yes. That is the thing that I might relate to the most out of these three, is like, I'm going to just act like this is where I belong. And maybe even wink or laugh at, like, if you don't know who I am, then who even are you? I mean, early on. From the beginning, I'm going to walk in with that of like, can't catch me. They'll never know. I feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's hard for y'all to believe.
Yeah.
Because I am so naturally cool.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's Michael Cera, Emma Stone, and you. Who's just like, man, it's just always effortless.
Y'all, Michael Cera hated being famous. Did you read about this?
No.
He is who he is. He turned down SNL. He didn't host SNL. And his agents were like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm making every move to not be famous. He hated people knowing who he was. He didn't know what to do with all of the fame. It's absolutely perfect.
I love that. I love it. He's a huge draw for me, honestly.
Of course.
If I see that he's in something.
I feel sorry for him because he's doing so well, because he hates it. Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm sorry. I like your movies, Michael.
Poor guy. Hey, I'm so sorry, man. I really appreciate your work, and I apologize for that.
Hey, man, I hate that you were in Arrested Development. You're my favorite part of it, but I hate that you were.
I hate that you were there. I'm so sorry.
His moment and his moment with Seth outside of the liquor store when he reveals that he brought a condom and a small bottle of spermicidal lube, and just that entire conversation is... So that entire scene combined with my favorite line in the entire movie, bar none, is when they're talking about the woman jogging who had the breast reduction, and Michael Cera is like, but now that she's able to jog without pain, she's in the best shape of her life. And Jonah Hill says, hurry up, I gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks. and then runs down the street is the most insane sentence.
It's so insane.
I've ever heard. It's up there with check out the Bobos on Super Freak for funniest breast reference in any movie. Oh. Gotta catch a glimpse of these warlocks is insane.
That's so funny, dude.
There is, I think, no matter how conservative the upbringing, something happens when a group of boys reaches a certain age that is like, man, so glad didn't put that in social media. Like, so glad this isn't like the things that are said for most. That is just like that. That feels like that is the tribe mentality.
Yeah. It's just like, being
what
an
do
idiot.
We do with all of these feelings and all of these chemical imbalances?
Right.
Let's just throw stuff against the wall. Let's just see what sticks. And there is camaraderie that comes from that. I mean, gosh, I'm lucky to be alive. Because Jackass was also like when I was in junior high school.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of lucky to be alive, the scene where Michael Cera has to sing a song for his life in the party in the cocaine room. At the party.
Gosh, man, it gets so ridiculous.
In the cocaine room. That's a little Disney joke for you.
Yeah, party, I gotcha.
You'd love it.
The tiki room. I like it.
I genuinely didn't know that reference. I don't know what the tiki
You're
room
so
is.
You're so cool.
Ask Carter about that.
What is the tiki room?
The tiki room is one of like the really old theater-like shows. It's in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom, and it's just birds. It's just a bunch of birds and plants. That
sounds
animatronic birds. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fun. Zazu's there.
Great,
isn't he? Isn't he?
I don't think so. There's just a lot of parrots.
Yeah.
I don't think Zazu's
just out here making stuff up.
Is Iago? There's a parrot. There's a bird from one of the movies there. A parrot there from one of the movies.
Maybe it's Iago.
It's one of the vultures from Jungle Book.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know. What are you going to do today? Yeah. The quotability of this movie and sort of the scene to scene moments that we get from Superbad are, I think, the things that make it, that give it the status that it has. But I also think that you can't really underestimate the like cultural significance that a movie like Superbad has. This movie feels like a comedy linchpin where it enabled a lot of the movies that came after it, not just because it sort of catapulted Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg's career. Goldberg?
Huh.
Did I just whiff that name?
Goldberg.
Thank you. Yeah.
It really catapulted Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg's careers and gave them a lot of opportunities to make other movies, which of course, you know, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg
as a
really
writer
sit
too.
Yeah. They sit mm-hmm. as like comedy legends, regardless of if you like Seth's particular brand of chuckle. I do, but you know, they've got their own thing.
I think
this movie feels like important culturally.
Yeah. With their powers combined, our cops in this movie, Bill Hader and Seth Rogen, the amount of writers' rooms that they're in.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
On yep. comedy that is legitimate is so incredibly high. Because Hader is a big time pull for South Park, and he's done that for a long time. And
yeah.
It's yep. brilliant.
It's and good. I think the one thing I will say about the part with the cops is that Bill Hader is a much better improviser than Seth Rogen, and you can tell because it feels like a lot of the
one of them went to SNL
parts,
and
yeah,
one of them didn't.
It feels like a lot. Well, even, you know, SNL is sketch, which I feel like Seth Rogen would do better with, but Bill Hader has this like improv heart, I think, where he like can roll, and it just, I feel like you can tell a lot of the cop parts were improvised and that Bill Hader is kind of running circles around Seth Rogen, but I think Seth Rogen's comfortable there. I think Seth Rogen is comfortable being the backboard off of which a funnier person can bank their shots.
I think
that's
a
good role to have.
Yeah, he was so good for, and this is going to be crazy to say because I am so against the live action remake of something, but it is like, hey, we got this right. If he was around in the early 90s to do voice acting, Rogan would have been Pumbaa. Like, that makes sense. He is just somebody's Pumbaa at all times.
Yep.
That's who he's supposed to be, and he's perfect.
It's a great point.
Yeah, he's my Pumbaa.
Wow. He's my Pumbaa.
You're my Pumbaa, Seth.
Cute.
Wow. One of the last things that this movie made me feel so nostalgic for at the very end, malls.
Yeah. We don't really got those anymore, huh?
They're ghost towns. They exist, but it's like the Wild West out
there.
Bad. Tumbleweed
it's
rolls
bad
by.
To walk inside them.
My mall experience, my current favorite mall experience is not even close to what Superbad gives us or what I had like in high school and college, because it's like North Park Mall, which is malls for like the capital, like the people
who are the
richest from Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And even North Park, I feel like half the storefronts are empty.
Well, and they killed H&M. We're usually going pretty late. Mm. But
it's fair.
Just to go to the movies?
Yeah.
Eat some food court Chinese food, which is now just Panda Express there, but still. Yeah.
Just Panda.
Yeah. I'll get it. I'll get Panda. That's no problem. It is time to rate this, which we'll do now using the Scientific Cinema Scale, which is perfect. Fine. And as follows, the best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
That's followed by the next best thing. I forgot my rhythm. The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'll go first. I would buy the poster for Superbad for two reasons. One, I do love it. I watch it fairly frequently. I really love the like cultural significance it at least has had on me. But also I think that it is like a great poster. And that's gotta pay into it a little bit. Jonah Hill's legs are shaped like the Christian Fish logo. they are just so splayed, this man's legs. The way they stand, it's just perfect.
Should have been a cowboy. I'll go next. And I'm without the nostalgia hit of this, I think it doesn't rank as high for me. So this is gonna be a stream it for me.
Whoa.
I did enjoy it. And I would watch it if Netflix was like, hey, come back. We're more than just Stranger Things. Now we've got Superbad. I would watch it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. Without the nostalgia of it, it's tough to get higher than a stream it for me.
The language and the stuff that's aged really, really poorly, I mean, just is that part of what got you there?
When did it come out? 2007? The 2007 of it all? And like the worst parts of 2007,
sure,
of it all that was like present here.
An advocate.
It's tough to get on board with fully,
for sure. It's almost like it's not like, because this is far more extreme, I would guess. But it's like if someone's just now listening to Kanye, and they're like they know everything, and they're like Lee,
right,
right.
But can I even like this?
Right.
It's a really high buy for me. And I will say this. I like Superbad more than Pineapple Express.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Did you think that before this round of watching?
I didn't. But they were always, they were going to be really close.
Sure.
I do like Seth Rogen a lot. And I think he's funnier here.
I do too.
I think Rogen is at his best when he's not the lead. And that doesn't happen very often. And so... Yeah, I just thought it was good. It definitely feels like it is a foundational piece for modern day comedy.
I think what's interesting about Pineapple Express versus Superbad, besides Rogan not being the lead, is Pineapple Express felt like the characters were high school, like emotionally, felt like they were high schoolers. And here they are, and I think that's part of what works so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is like these characters, and I think that's part of the excuse is the wrong word, but part of what works for it, what makes it work for me, is like that is what being in high school in 2007, being in middle school in 2007, like the language was horrible, and the you want to say that nobody knew any better, but everybody should have known better. It was just, you know, the empathy was not valuable and you know, using words that should not have been used were so common. And I think it had this movie been about adults talking like this, even the nostalgia wouldn't be enough to be like, that is tough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, knowing that it's like that is how high schoolers talked in 2007 is such a almost a time capsule of like,
yeah, 100%
horror. Which is just so, so unique. But anyway, next week we're wrapping up comedies with the one I've been the most excited about this whole time, TBH, which is Hot Rod. Cannot wait to watch this movie.
This will be my first time. I'm excited to finally see it.
Yeah, you're going to like it, dude. You're going to love this one. Can't wait for you to see it. But yeah, Bill Hader's back. Make sure you check out. If somehow you like us but haven't watched Hot Rod, that would be insane to me. This would be the one movie that I'd be like, you have to watch it.
You like us but haven't watched Hot Rod is like, yeah, I love McDonald's. Never had a McDouble, but I love McDonald's. Like, what are you getting? What are you doing there?
It almost feels like it would be like, I love dibs. Be like, yeah, because of the ice cream inside. The what? You haven't had ice cream? No, but I love dibs. It's like, you got to have what started dibs, man. You know, dibs has like a thing. That's what it feels like. Homestar Runner and Hot Rod or the ice cream and hard chocolate of our dibs.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out. Make sure you tune in to hear us talk about the best comedy for my money. Really excited about that one. And to end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name. And if you were on the poster from your senior, if you're on the Superbad poster, but it was your senior year of high school, what would be your Friday night party outfit? What are you throwing on? Dressing to impress?
Oh, no.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, my name is Jordan, and it would be the skinniest jeans you've ever seen in your entire life. There's not even room for a wrinkle to be on them because they're basically jeggings. It would be big old fat Vans, like the skate shoe Vans, probably. Mm. Senior year, I don't know. It'd probably be Toms, actually. Senior year. Yeah, probably Toms. I had the ones with the trees stitched.
Yeah.
In the top?
I had burlap Toms. And let me tell you, however stinky you think regular Toms are.
Yeah, extra stinky.
Wait till you try burlap.
I'd have a white leather belt and I'd have a one size smaller than it probably should be band tee on. That would be my Friday night.
Burlap Toms. That's wild. There's probably so many different sweat stain lines that it looks like its own design. Like that was
yes. It looks like one of those Norwegian metal t-shirts with like all the
I had also some foot like sprinkle foot deodorant, kind of like
didn't work, just made them sticky.
Forbidden Parmesan cheese, yeah, and it basically turned into cement in my shoes once it made contact with my sweat. Yeah, being 18 was great. Being 18 was awesome. And I'm Doge, and on the poster I am wearing low-top gray Converse, skinny jeans, and a black V-neck.
V-necks are big, yeah.
I'm alt, but approachable.
I'm Carter. Did not care for color schemes. To me, it felt like the cooler you are, the more colors you wear.
Sure, like a peacock.
Almost like something from planet Earth. Yeah, exactly. So I would probably have a Phoenix Suns. Bright purple and orange hat sitting on the back of my head, as it always is. I would be wearing a Hot Topic crunk shirt, which if you haven't seen that, it is a navy blue. I would wear it tight. I was wearing a size I needed form fitting for the torso.
Yes. Had to.
It has kind of like a silver, it looks like the guy on a bathroom door type logo, except he's wearing like DJ headphones and it just says crunk. Cargo shorts, and then I too would have some Vans on. There would be the koi fish Vans. I don't know if you remember that special flavor.
Yeah.
They had koi fish swimming around on them.
Yeah, dude.
I do remember these.
That's what I'm rocking with.
Wow. So. And with that image in your head of who we are.
Man.
We bid thee adieu.
Adieu. A doge.
To you and you and you.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.